Message this morning is titled Three Kinds of Faith, and our text is from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen. This message today is about three kinds of faith. And James gives us three examples. Dead faith or false faith. In verses 15 and 16. Second, he gives us an example of demonic faith. Verses 18 and 19. And third, he gives us an example of real, genuine faith in verses 20 to 26. Faith is the key doctrine to being a Christian. The sinner is saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. As Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 tell us, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And not of works, lest anyone should boast. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says that in Hebrews 11, 6. And whatever we do apart from faith is sin, in Romans 14, 23. Faith is believing in God the Father, in the work of Christ Jesus, God the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. There are some who profess faith, but do not have salvation. Did you hear that? There are some who profess faith, but do not have salvation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23, in verse 21 it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And in verse 23, Jesus said, and then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus will say, depart from me. They professed faith, but did not have faith. Jesus was also asked in John 6, 28 and 29, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. The work and the will of God is that we believe in Christ Jesus whom he sent. Now James goes on to give us three examples. The first one is the example of dead faith. Our false faith. In verses 15 and 16 it says, if a brother or sister is destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? When we do not meet the needs of others, we are not showing the love of God. God has put us here as a child of God to show his love and do the providing. In 1 John 3:18 it says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. People who have dead or false faith know the words to share. They may know how to pray the right words, but their walk does not measure their talk. Their walk does not measure up to their talk. Another example of this is whether a person or a preacher, it does not matter. In fact, this is a case which I just came known of. Says that they have no hope. Then they have a false faith. They do not understand the saving power of God the Father and Jesus Christ. As we are told in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, that we are to be looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every Christian should be looking for the hope and appearing of Jesus Christ. And it goes on and says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds in the air. What this hope is speaking of is the hope of the rapture. Every Christian should have hope that Christ is returning, and we should have hope in the rapture of us going to meet Christ in the air. Secondly, we should have hope in our home in heaven. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Jesus is speaking. But in verse 2, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for each and every one of his children, each and every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and as a Son of God. Third, we are to have hope of everlasting life, of eternity. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Every Christian should have hope of the rapture, of heaven, and of eternity by believing in Jesus Christ. God loves us. And that's why he says in 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, which means he sent Jesus to atone for all of our sins. And then we read in 1 John 2:2, where Jesus died for the sins of our propitiation of the whole world, which means he died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for everyone. God loves everyone. But there are many who have not accepted him, many who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Those without hope do not know the eternal life expressed in John 3:16. Are in John 5:24, where Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. It shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Do you believe in the Father? And do you believe in the Son whom he sent? If you do, you have everlasting life. And have passed from death into life. That's what Jesus said. The one who has no hope of eternal life may know the right words to say, but has a false faith. They need a saving faith, a real faith, a genuine faith. True saving faith is not alone. It brings life. As it says in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son of God has life. And he who does not have the Son of God has not life. A saving faith changes a person. They have life. The light of Jesus shines from them, as we read today in our gospel verses. The person who has no hope of eternal life has a false faith. They have an intellectual faith, head knowledge, but not a saving faith. And that is why when Jesus gave us the first and great commandment in Matthew 22:37, what did Jesus say? The first commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He didn't say you should love the Lord your God with all your mind. And he didn't say you shall love the God with all your heart and your mind. He says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He wanted us completely to love him. The one who has false faith has a head knowledge. He may know the right words to say, how to pray the right words, but does not have true faith. The second illustration that James gives us is a demonic faith. In verses 18 and 19 of our text, in verse 19 it says, even the demons believe and tremble. James uses demons to illustrate. Are you shocked that the demons have faith? They believe in the deity of Christ. Yes, demons believe in the deity of Christ. They witness of Christ's sonship. In Mark, in the book of Mark, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, it says this, And they, unclean spirits, speaking of the demons, whenever they saw him, which is Christ, they fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. The demons would say to Christ, you are the Son of God. They knew the deity of Christ. The demons also believe in a punishment. In Luke 8, 30 and 31, it says, Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. See, the demons submitted to the power of God. They trembled at the power of God. Perhaps we should take a lesson from the demons. Do we know the power of our Almighty God? They did. The one who has a dead faith, a false faith, has intellectual faith. But the demons have intellectual and emotional. They tremble and they believe and trembled in James 2:19. But they did not have genuine saving faith. The third kind of faith is a real faith, a genuine saving faith in verses 20 to 26. It involves more. It can be seen. It can be recognized. And it involves a changed life. It involves our heart, our soul, and our mind. It involves the soul and mind. In James 2:18 it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. But show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But faith produces fruit or works. When you trust in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. That's what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17, where it says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. We are born again when we trust in Jesus Christ, and we have Christ in us. But in Ephesians 2:10, it says this, for we are his workmanship, that's the Father's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. When Christ died on that cross, he atoned for our sins, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Faith produces works. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ, but faith produces works. It produces fruit. Being a Christian involves trusting Christ and living for him. As Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is great gain. Yes, when we pass on, we will be with the Lord. As it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But today we are to live for him. The third faith that James is describing is a saving faith, a real, genuine, working faith. A saving faith has the power of Christ, as it is Christ in us, and leads to a changed life. Each and every one of us should understand this. A saving faith has the power of Christ, as it is Christ in us, and not ourselves. When God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ in us that he sees. And that's what we are thankful for. In James 20, chapter 2, verse 20 to 24, it says this. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then that man was justified by works and not by faith only. Many may say we believe, or many may say they believe, but what do they believe in? Do they believe in the works of Christ? Do they believe in the fact that when Jesus died on that cross, he atoned for all of our sins? That's what we're to believe in. Do they believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose on the third day for our justification? And today is at the right hand of God the Father, where he intercedes for each and every one of us all the time. We are saved by the Holy Spirit working in us and convicting us of sin and bringing us to faith in Jesus Christ. As it says in Romans chapter 12, verse, or 1 Corinthians 12:3, where it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us and brings us to Christ. Real, genuine faith involves the will. As James 1:18 says, of his own will, that's the Father's will, he brought us forth by the words of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. The Father brought us forth of his will by the word of truth. Real, genuine faith involves the Father's will and ours. It involves us too. Where it says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, received Christ. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. We need to receive Jesus Christ. In fact, as it goes further, in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Jesus wants to have a fellowship with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to talk to him. We're to talk to him. Real faith is where the mind understands the truth. The heart desires the truth, and the will acts upon it. It is receiving of Christ. True faith leads us to action and obedience on the part of the will. When there is saving faith, you will find good works, as faith produces good works. As Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The Father has prepared works for us to walk in. Both Abraham and Rahab had saving faith and good works. They were God's workmanship. As James 2:23 and 24 says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone, or not by faith only, rather. One is justified by works and not by faith only. God's righteousness. Our justification is an act of God's love where he declares the believing sinner righteous on the basis of what Christ has done. We are righteous on the basis of what Christ has done. Christ died for us. And through faith, we are righteous by believing in Jesus Christ. His death for us, his burial, and his resurrection for us. It is a once and for all event. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, as the Son of God, when he's in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul, you are a child of God. Once and for all. It's a finished act. Real faith proves itself daily. There are many church members who fit the description of Titus 1:26. Oh, this is a humbling verse. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him. Satan wants to convince one with false faith that it is true faith, leaving them unsaved. Titus 1:26, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Satan loves that. He wants to convince people with false faith that it's genuine, so they remain lost and don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Paul and God tell us in Titus 3:4 through 8, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. Every believer should have hope of the rapture, of eternal life, and of a home in heaven. Faith changes a person and works for God in serving Him. It's important that a professing Christian examine their heart and life, making sure they're true and have a saving faith. There's a wonderful verse, two verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Here's what it says. I love the last part of this. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Now listen to this part. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Here are some questions to ask yourself as you look at your faith. One, was there a time when you honestly admitted to yourself, to God, that you were a sinner? Was there a time? Because those who do not believe they're sinners do not need Christ. Was there a time when you came and honestly said to God that you're a sinner? Two, do you really understand that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day for your justification? Three, have you trusted Christ and Christ alone for your salvation? Four, do you have a relationship with God, the Father, and God the Son, Christ Jesus? Do you have a relationship with them? Has your life been changed? Do you maintain good works? Can others see the love of Jesus in you? Do you have a desire to share Christ with others? Or are you ashamed of Him? Are you ready for the Lord's return? Powerful questions. But look at what verse 6 said of 2 Corinthians 13. Do you know that Christ is in you? Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says this, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me in the way of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for this precious word you've given to us. And how James has told us, there is false faith, there is demonic faith, and there is real, genuine faith that involves our heart, our soul, and our mind. And Father, you want all of us. And Father, we do pray, Father, that we would love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Allow us to know what Jesus has done for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.